Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome inside the final hour tonight of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got some Aaron Rodgers stories that are just a complete load of crap coming your way in about 20 minutes. I mean, there are two stories today that are just a complete load of crap. Look, we'll always tell you which ones are real, which ones are absolutely load of crap. And two of the big ones are loads of crap. Now, that being said, the Lakers and the Clippers. I didn't think we'd have this much drama tonight with the Lakers and the Clippers. And on the surface, no, there wasn't that much. The Clippers got out to a 20-point lead in the second quarter and then cruised to a 118-94 win over the Lakers. Now, the Clippers first before we get to the Lakers. The Clippers win all five starters in double figures. Paul George goes for 24. We are sleeping on the Clippers. I'm telling you, everybody is sleeping on the Clippers. Of all the teams we talk about for winning the championship, all the attention is spent on the Nets. Can they do it? We have to start taking the Jazz seriously when Donovan Mitchell comes back. We got to start taking the Suns seriously. They're healthy at the top of the West. The Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, they're winning without Jamal Murray. Look at this. The Lakers have all kinds of problems. The defending champions, are they going to be okay when AD and LeBron are healthy together? And we're not talking about the Clippers, which is a great thing for the Clippers because we were a year early on them. You know, they show up last year and they never got a chance to play together. They never gelled. They got rid of a lot of personalities out of that locker room. And while it wasn't something that showed it was a positive move as far as points, it was something as far as, hey, this is a better fit. This is a better constructed roster than it was. We let a lot of firepower go, but overall here, we're pretty happy. And here are the Clippers now, 23 games over 500. They know what works. They have a pecking order on their team. They're just getting everybody back, being healthy. Watch out for the Clippers. If I had to pick a team that's going to the finals right now from the Western Conference, I would take the Clippers. I'd take the Clippers to get out with the experience with Kawhi and Paul George in the playoffs. They'll wind up beating teams like the Jazz or the Suns, who eventually they're going to get to the point where, hey, man, we're in the conference finals. Yeah. This is pretty serious stuff, man. The Lakers have so many problems. If I could pick one team right now, it would be the Clippers.
You just put in playoff experience with Paul George as a plus.
I said Kawhi Leonard, and then I said,
well, but you added Paul George to it.
And it's like Puppet Show and Spinal Tap. I said Puppet Show and Spinal Tap.
Problem is, you linked them together. You should add a little more separation there. But look, solid team. Obviously, the divisiveness of a year ago, we haven't heard any rumblings. And that's been the beauty of it. You know, you and I have talked about it a little bit back and forth, being as we're here in LA, but the national narrative has been quiet. Silence, right? Doc Rivers is off in Philly trying to avoid, well, what happened with Clippers. Early playoff exits when you've got players vying for big accolades and highlight reels and everything else to avoid any of those pitfalls. And to see if you can't kill the rumors of what went on in the bubble, right? Because between Paul George and others, they didn't paint a very pretty picture of the coaching staff and their direction and how the players were or were not getting along throughout the process and into the bubble. Guys missing times and then seeming like a revolving door. Like, you're coming back? Okay, I'm going to take a couple of days off now. And it doesn't mean that the injuries weren't, you know, timed just horribly. But the reality is you didn't have that gel. We kept waiting for it. When's it going to come together? And so now with all of the drama related to the Lakers, the continuing inane chatter related to the MVP award and so many other factors, young stars coming into the league and making some noise, that the Clippers have been able to just kind of go to work. Right. Likewise, in the Eastern Conference, that's what the Bucks have done. We haven't talked about them at all.
Yeah. Well, look, because the Bucks are boring. We've seen them get the number one seed in the conference right. The last 2 years and not make the NBA.
No, but finals. That's okay, the point, done. Right? So we have the history of the Clippers when we talk about Lob City and all those highlight reel moves and dunks and Blake Griffin jumping over a car. front angled, whatever. Jumping this shark. Hey, you know what? It's a Kia. You know what? The check cash just the same for the NBA. So don't try to discount. See, he still comes back to cash with all these discussions. But the point being that we had all those expectations that were never reached. With the Bucks, we're kind of in that mode. And likewise with this Clipper team after last year, it's like, all right, we saw that first act. Wake me when the second one kind of heats up. And now we've got some drama. Because as of now, it's just cruise control through the regular season. Let's see it play out when the lights are brightest.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, now to the Lakers. Look, Clippers, they got no problems right now. The Lakers, that's a different story. Anthony Davis left tonight's game with what we all thought was an ankle injury, right? He takes a shot in the second quarter, and he tries to run back up court, and he steps on one of the tables on the sideline, goes down, and looks like he twisted his right ankle. He goes down, and look, and that's right near the Achilles where he had got hurt before. And okay, what's going on? What's going on? And then he leaves the game. And it was relayed that he wasn't coming back. And the reason he wasn't coming back was back spasms. Wait, what? He goes down. The video they kept showing all the time. He left the game after that. He goes down. He falls down. He gets back up. He reaches for his ankle. He takes his shoe off. And it was back spasms. That's the reason the Lakers put out that he wasn't coming back. Also, they were losing by 20. AD just spoke. And he said this in the locker room, quote, "The ankle is fine. The back locked up pretty bad. My plan is to go tomorrow to see how it is tomorrow. I should be good to go based on how it's feeling now." So tomorrow is the big one because the Lakers have a game against the Portland Trail Blazers, who they're now tied for the sixth spot with. If the Lakers lose tomorrow, they're in seven, and then they're in the play-in territory right now. It's, hey, look where you are now with us. You're in the play-in territory, Bane. You're at the bottom of the pit with all of us trying to get into the playoffs. But I'm going to take this from a different angle with the Lakers, is that this is where they are at this point, and they've spent a lot of energy and time trying to come back to ensure they could get that sixth spot, right? And clearly when AD was coming back, and it looked like he was going to be healthy enough, and he was coming back with enough time in the regular season, and LeBron looked like he was coming back with enough time, holding on to the sixth spot seemed doable. And you don't know who you're going to play. You know, you don't want to play the Clippers in the first round because it's a bad matchup, but you could wind up playing the Nuggets in the first round, and maybe that's a better matchup because it's just Jokic, it's not Jamal Murray. And they're, you know, jockeying right now for third and fourth place. So you don't know who you're really going to play. If you're in the play-in round, you know you're playing the Jazz or the Suns. And is that bad a matchup for you? Not that you have to sit back and tank to get a matchup you think might work out better for you, but if you're the Lakers right now, is it really better for you to rush Anthony Davis back and have him keep playing and rush LeBron James back in two games to try to just hold on to the sixth seed? I don't think it is. I mean, look, I know you don't want to be in the play-in round, but sometimes just accepting that this is where it's likely going to be, you free yourself of a lot of pressures and you can focus on getting ready for the playoffs rather than focus on, hey, we got to win all these games and it's playoff-type games to get out of the play-in round. Okay, we'll play in the play-in tournament. We got to lose twice. We're probably not going to lose twice if we have both LeBron and AD. So if they accept the fact that, hey, we're going to be in the play-in round, that clarifies things. All right, we're in the play-in round. We don't have to rush Anthony Davis back. We don't have to rush LeBron back. If we lose the games, we lose the games. We're gonna finish no worse than we'll probably be in seventh when we finish. So I'm not too worried about where we're at. No, it's not where we want to be, but still, this is the hand that we're dealt. And it's probably less, it does less for them to go crazy for the sixth seed than it would be to just sit back, play your guys, however the last few games play out, they play out, and let AD and LeBron get healthy and get ready for the playoffs and just go at it from there. Now you can spend time crafting your lineup and figure out, okay, what works great, what works, what doesn't work, what do we need to do in the playoffs as we're looking ahead to you know, something that's, you know, 2.5 weeks from now. And it might be something that you would find your mind being cleared and be more focused on, okay, this is the task in front of us now. It's the play-in round and then the playoffs. It's not this craziness that is going to take us away from getting ready mentally and physically for the playoff rounds.
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to rush these guys, right? LeBron, I quoted a little bit earlier tonight saying he expects to be back next week. If it's after May 16th, it's after May 16th. If it's after that final game, I think it's against the Knicks are the 11th. And then they have two more, I think, thereafter that and finish on that Sunday. If they both sit out, what's the difference at this point? If they're healthy and you get Schroeder back, right, because enough time should have elapsed from all the calculations that, in theory, he returns to the lineup. And again, you know, you're rolling the dice that it gels and they're able to just, you know, roll the ball out and get back to it. Because that was one of the reasons Anthony Davis came back, right? Try to get a few games under his belt to get ready for playoff basketball. Clearly, his body is not cooperating. They had the big moment the other night, the we're back, and all of that. And, well, now you see all the puns and one-liners related to that across social media, so I'll spare you them here. But for the Lakers, it's always been about the playoffs. So as long as you're secure and that you're in to the play-in round, as much as you may hate it and as much as people are going to continue to bash LeBron for the silly comments about it last week, as they should, right? You know, it's all fine until we're actually playing in it. It's like, damn it, I thought we were going to avoid that. But you have to change the rules of engagement based on where you are at this point in the season. What's your best opportunity to push forward? Obviously, you would still love the seventh seed because then someone's got to beat you twice. But even then, it's still if you're going down, you're going down. Right, if your best opportunity is another week and a half of rest to get these guys back on the court, then I think that's where you go. So rare agreement with you, Smith, in terms of roster management.
Well, and let's be honest, you're going to finish seventh. Okay, you're going to finish seventh because even if they lose, they still have a three-game lead on the Warriors with four games left. So, I mean, you'd have to lose every single game. The Warriors have to win every single one just for you to drop to eighth. So as long as you can win, you know, one game, you're going to wind up finishing seventh, which means you have a little bit of rope to play with when, okay, we have to lose twice. I can't see the Lakers finishing lower than that. I mean, because look, the Warriors, we know they're a 500 team. Are they going to run the table the rest of the way? Eh, probably not. You know, but let's just say they do. Are the Lakers are going to lose every single game the rest of the way? It would take a lot for that to happen.
Just remember, so there were a few games ago that was looking at the schedule. It's like, they might only win one or two. And then Anthony Davis came back. How about this? This just comes from executive producer Justin Frostberg. I want to get your opinion on this because this is going to be straight fire. Aaron Rodgers, unless something happens, he will not be talked about tomorrow because we're going to get a response to this. Frank Vogel said LeBron won't join the Lakers in Portland. And then he was asked if there's a medical reason that he hasn't been with the team during the last two games. Vogel simply said, no.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Couldn't make it to Staples tonight?
Wow.
So, there, you know, maybe all the stories and everything that people said, yeah, typical Clippers, maybe not everything's all right in Lakerville. How about that?
Ooh, man, LeBron James. I mean, again, that is a phenomenal development here. Not joining the Lakers on their trip to Portland. No medical reason. I mean, now this could be
But this was at Staples.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he wasn't going to get on a plane and you could say, all right, there's no reason for him to travel with us, fine. Yeah. Why wasn't he on the bench here? Why wasn't he on the bench the other night?
Wow. You know, this gets into my take on LeBron as to how serious the Lakers think they're title contenders. Which, tell you what, we'll have that more coming up next. Again, right here, Frank Vogel says there was no medical reason LeBron hasn't been with the team the last couple of games. We continue to dive into this big story that's coming up right now, as well as the load of crap stories about Aaron Rodgers. Trust me, they're all load of crap ones. That's coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. You know, I figured out something fun I can do, Harmon, with tie shirt like just 20 seconds ago.
Okay.
He said, wait, he said, get really close to your microphone. And we figured out that, one of my big impressions I could do now would be an airplane pilot.
Really?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to United Airlines Flight 7455 with service from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Today's in-flight entertainment will be the pilot episode of The Office, starring Steve Carell, John Krasinski, and Jenna Fischer. There will be no beverage service due to the length of the flight, and we're looking to get you on the ground a couple of minutes early, maybe about 42 minutes in flight time. The Lakers lost tonight. They're in a lot of trouble. LeBron's not with the team anymore, and so they're going to be navigating some stuff. So buckle your seatbelt, sit back, and have a great flight. Thank you.
And anybody that just tuned in right now heard the LeBron line and went, wait, what? He's not with the team anymore. What does that mean?
This just happened a few moments ago. Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach, was asked about LeBron's situation. Right, we did a whole thing. Anthony Davis was hurt. He's going to come back and play. It was back spasms, even though it looked like he hurt his ankle in the loss to the Clippers tonight. Everything was great. Okay, AD's coming back. Here's where we're at. And then Frank Vogel was asked about LeBron's status. LeBron has not been with the team the last couple of days, even though he was at the shoot-around earlier today. Frank Vogel was asked, hey, is there a medical reason LeBron hasn't been around the team the last couple of days? No. Well, can you elaborate on that? And Frank Vogel said, he's just not here. He's not going to accompany the team to Portland, and who knows what is next for LeBron and the Lakers, but he is not with the team right now. This doesn't mean he's not going to come back and play ever again, but here's LeBron, and Frank Vogel just said, nope, guy's not around. Why? He's just not here.
Not medical, right?
No, it's not a medical situation. Was there a medical situation he was in? No, not a medical situation. He's just not here. So whether it's something personal, whether it is something that he's got an agreement to be away from the team that maybe Frank Vogel disagrees with, I don't know. I would like to think that if it was something where LeBron was excused, he would have said that. But the way Frank Vogel said no, where is he? He's just not here, tells me that this is not everything as smooth as you'd like to think it is. And hey, LeBron's just not with the team right now, and he's going to be back soon. I mean, the fact that he addressed it with that, and Frank Vogel said, no, he's just not here. Usually if there's something going on, you want to tamp that down and you go into detail and say, listen, everything is fine. LeBron wasn't with the team. You know, he talked to us about it. Everything is cool. He's not going to go to Portland with us. And then we hopefully get him back next week. No, it was, no, he's not here. Medical reason? No. Why is he with the team? He's just not here. Something is up now. Something is up with LeBron and the Lakers. And this harkens back now. I'm having flashbacks to the early aughts when how many years did the Cavaliers get to the Eastern Conference Finals and suddenly LeBron just stopped trying? You know, it happened with the Heat in the NBA Finals. Why is LeBron not trying? What's going on with LeBron? And I'm looking at this and I'm having a flashback to that right now. Now, we could find out tomorrow everything is fine. Oh, yeah. But for Frank Vogel to say, yeah, he's just not here right now, And I'm not going to elaborate on it. I would hope that there's a really good reason, but the fact that he didn't say anything, why, when you would want to defend your player, why they're not around the team, that's a pretty big deal, Mike. It's a pretty big deal.
Bill Oram, who covers the team for The Athletic, added LeBron was with them in practice yesterday, and he was at shoot-around. So he's just not here. I guess I'd like to hear the audio of the inflection of just not here, right? Is it just kind of a, well, just matter of fact? Is there anything to be read into, you know, the look on his face as he answers that question? I mean, there's so much that goes with it. So a developing story, but you can infer that if he's not there, because he was coaching his ass off a couple of weeks ago when he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was sitting underneath the basket and would keep showing up in huddles and pulling players aside and giving like one-on-one tips, instructions, whatever you want to call it, for whatever the situation was. And now he's not there when you're fighting for to stay out of the play-in that he abhors so much. It's curiosity at a minimum, and something a little more distressing about where the team is psychologically and where as a team, how much you use the word team in terms of pulling together and fighting this last stretch. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
You know, and here's the thing is that, you know, I mentioned this briefly the other night, but it bears getting into a little bit deeper now. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. To look at how much of a title contender the Lakers think they are right now, you have to look no further than LeBron James. And I don't mean how well he's playing. I don't mean what he's saying. But how much is LeBron playing? Because if it was a title season for the Lakers, LeBron would be figuring out a way to, you know, play the right amount of games and play in the right game so they can get ready for the playoffs. And clearly where we're sitting in at the end, you know, LeBron was out for a long time. He comes back. He's been out a couple of games. Now he hasn't been with the team the last couple of nights. Does LeBron think this is a championship year? Does he think this is a title season for the Lakers? I mean, that's a big thing to go on and think. Does he really think so? Remember, his first year with the Lakers, he took all that load maintenance in the middle of the season because he knew it's not a finals year. And why am I going crazy trying to get to the finals or just trying to get the team in the playoffs when we're not going to win the NBA title, and we're not even going to get to the finals because that's really where I'm at. So that was his first year. He took that load maintenance. Now, we don't know what's happening with LeBron right now, but not being with the team and the head coach not saying something, I mean, this is not what the Lakers need right now. I mean, this is not what they need with everything happening right now. Because your mind goes to 1,000 different places. Is he feuding with Frank Vogel? Is he feuding with other members of the team? Is everything okay and he's taking care of something personally? We've got none of those details. And if it was something where he's away from the team and he's taking care of something personally, they would have said that. They would have said, hey, he's got some personal things to take care of. It's been okay. He's not been at the game. But he's not been at the game. And he was at shoot-around today, but he's not other places. This does not sound right. Something is up, and we're going to see the other shoe to this drop sometime in the next 24 hours because this is not where the Lakers need to be at all, you know, getting set for the playoffs. They have enough difficulty trying to get healthy, trying to stay out of the play-in round, which really they've kind of – they should just accept they're going to be in it and work on it from there. But I've not seen an NBA defending champion go into the playoffs with this sort of controversy in a long time. And you know, for the – conventional wisdom that says, well, LeBron and AD are going to be back. They're going to wave a magic wand. Everything's going to be okay. Is it? I mean, there's no gimmies. You're not finishing second in the West and you have problems and you're playing a really bad team in the first round of the playoffs and you can get well in the first round of the playoffs. All right, yeah, we played these four games. We played the Kings. We played the Spurs. We played somebody and we won. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to go through the Suns or the Jazz or the Clippers and then you get the Suns or the Jazz or the Nuggets and it's going to be a really tough road to hoe. So I wonder what LeBron thinks of, hey, are we really going to get through all these teams and win the NBA title, or is it just not our year? There's so many fascinating aspects to what's going on right now with the Lakers.
Yeah, with this part, it's one that I think you would have had to have known the question would come, or at least have an answer in the event that it did, other than he's just not here. Like, that just opens so much speculation. It could be complete nonsense. Right, he had, you know, promised homework night. Since he's not playing, what's the difference? Blah blah blah, which is wrong, especially as a home game. You should still, I think, go to the office and support your teammates. Yes, if you can be there for a shoot around and whatever else. But to that point, it's just inviting stories. It's inviting hot takes because let's face it, we're getting the first pass at it, and more oxygen is going to come into the room on this one. There's no question about it, particularly when they get drummed by the Clippers in this fashion. And say all you want about this guy didn't play in addition to LeBron and Schroeder and THT and go on down the line. Oh, and Anthony Davis got hurt. Because that's the other thing, is this now becomes a Vegas misdirect. So you're not talking about how hurt Anthony Davis may or may not be. Because he said it after the game, hey, I'm going to be ready for tomorrow. I can't wait to see, right? Mm-hmm. The basketball loving world is, you know, one of those anxious little kids leaning forward on a table, right? Their chin is on their fists and they're looking up at you like, what are you going to do next? And I think that's where we're at with the Lakers right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So today there was another batch of new Aaron Rodgers stories, and clearly, look, I told you we're going to get a new one every day until he's traded. But two today were really loads of crap. And the first one comes to us courtesy of his former teammate, John Kuhn, who went on a radio interview earlier today and said, hey, I talked to Aaron Rodgers recently, and he's kind of conflicted as about what he wants to do, if he wants to go back with the Packers or not. Here it is.
He's conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football. This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer. And this man truly sees careers. He's watched friends leave. He watched Brett Favre's career towards the end. He's watched all these things play out in front of his eyes. He's taken notes throughout his entire career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way that they could or should have. And he's just trying to take his own destiny within his own hands. And to that effect, I actually admire him, because not many players in the NFL have that opportunity. I sure as heck didn't. I played until everybody told me you can't play anymore, and it's a humbling feeling. And Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to try and, you know, take a little bit of that power back.
All right, that's a load of crap. All that is a load of crap. Why? Aaron Rodgers is the most calculating player in the National Football League. Everything he does has a purpose. All right? So just when you understand, he's not conflicted. He wants the message to get out there that, hey, I don't want to be painted as the bad guy in this, right? Because that's what's going to happen. I want out. Packers fans are going to hate him, and he's going to get all that hate. He doesn't want it. He wants it to seem like, hey, this is a difficult thing for me because the front office is what's keeping me from wanting to stay. But I'm conflicted because I love Green Bay, and I want to stay, and I love the fans, and I love my teammates. This is what you do, and this is very calculated, because he knew, having this conversation with John Kuhn, John Kuhn's going to go on the radio and do this interview. People are going to pick it up. And hey, John Kuhn gets a whole day's worth of relevancy in sports, and the message gets out and the story gets out. Hey, Aaron is very concerned and he's very conflicted because he doesn't really know what he wants. It's a load of crap. This is just to get it out there that Aaron Rodgers is a good guy and he's thinking about the team and the fans and everybody else, and that's what's going on. When he's made up his mind and he wants out, this is him trying to control that message. So I have a conversation with John Kuhn. John Kuhn goes out and says what he says, and this is why we have this story today. Aaron Rodgers is not conflicted. He wants the message out there that maybe he is, so he can still seem like a good guy and not seem like the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, we know all the leaks, or at least the tea leaves as we read them, would say Aaron Rodgers has been talking to his buddies. They've been holding stories, and now one after another, they're finding their way to the light of day, including, you know, we talked about the Jerry Krause story the other day. Again, just for folks that have no idea of the dynamic, you don't have to get along to still win. So I think that's something in the Aaron Rodgers vein to recognize, even if he hates the GM and some of the moves. Like, go do your job. You guys have been close to winning the NFC on multiple occasions here. And yes, you can blame play calling. You can be as salty about it as you want, but you've been set up nicely. But this particular interview, it's like, well, he's either in or he's out. The cops got him or they don't. The retirement thing still hangs in the balance. But if you're coming off an MVP season, I don't see you walking away. I think the thirst is still going to be there, particularly because it's always going to be, all right, well, for all of the greatness, you only have X. And here's the list of guys that have matched your overall accomplishments in that space. And so as we flow through and every teammate chimes in with this, it's really just fun theater at this point. You might as well just have a full convention of guys. And you know what Aaron told me, or maybe he didn't, because James Jones did the same thing, you know, saying, oh, I don't think it's irreparable. and, you know, all of these, I talk to him all the time. So I'm questioning how much he's really talking to folks or if he's just wearing a jaunty hat and hanging out and watching the chaos.
So there it is. So there's one story. Load of crap. Load of crap. Now here's the next one, load of crap, and this comes to us courtesy of Adam Schefter. It was Adam Schefter who on the first day of the NFL draft dropped the bombshell that Aaron Rodgers is not happy with Green Bay and doesn't think he can go back and play there. He went on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today and explained, well, this wasn't anything that was new information. I've kind of been gleaning this over the past few months. Take a listen.
This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No. And there was nothing that morning that came in that
okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. There was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talk. And I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Okay. Again, that's a load of crap.
Now, it just happened to be. Come on.
Yeah. Now, is part of it, hey, I want to save this for the draft, for the first day of the draft. Sure, I could see
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know, you'd get great ratings anyway, but still, you want to save for the draft, that's fine. But really, really, Adam Schefter just decided to say that for no reason other than this is just what I've been gleaning over the course of the offseason. Adam Schefter is not going to go on with a story like that unless Aaron Rodgers is on board with it. All right, because if he goes on and says that, and Aaron Rodgers go, wait a minute, because he said, it's just stuff I've been gleaning from the offseason. It's not been a quote from Aaron Rodgers, not been from anybody else. Aaron Rodgers could come out and say, hey, what the hell, man? You don't come back. You don't say, I never said that I wasn't coming back. I never talked to teammates about this. Whoa. You really think there's a reason why Adam Schefter came out with that on the day of the draft, the morning of the draft, to try to force the Packers into a panic trade over the course of the 7-8 hours before the draft to get him out of Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers wants out? Nothing happens unless Aaron Rodgers wants it to be out there. And a guy like Adam Schefter, he lives and deals with relationships. Yes, he wants to have a great relationship with the Packers, but he also wants to have a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is a guy that's going to help him break a lot of news over the course of the next few years. So insiders have to kind of ride the lightning there when it's saying, okay, here's a player, here's a team, because the team's always going to be around longer than the player, but the player is Aaron Rodgers. He's not coming out and saying this on the first day of the draft if Aaron Rodgers isn't on board with it and not something that he knows he wants out there. Okay, so just understand that Aaron Rodgers is controlling his own message. And anytime you hear a story like this come out where, hey, I talked to Aaron or Aaron said this, it's because that's the message Aaron Rodgers wants out there. A day ago, it was Brett Favre saying, hey, I don't know that the guy's coming back. Today it was, hey, I'm conflicted because I still love the fans and I love my team. And now here's Adam Schefter saying, yeah, there was no reason. I just decided to say it on the first day of the draft. No, all a load of crap. Rodgers is controlling the message. He's the puppet master. Whatever he wants out, he gets that message out. None of this is happening without Aaron Rodgers' say-so. So all of these things about, hey, he's conflicted, it's a load of crap. Oh, I just came out with it on the first day of the draft. No, it's a load of crap. Aaron Rodgers knew he was going to say it. He was okay with it, because if he wasn't, he would have come out and said, I don't know where this story came from. I disagree with this. I'm working things out in Green Bay. Any of those things he would have said when Adam Schefter had his big scoop on the first day of the draft. But he didn't, which tells you Aaron Rodgers at the head, and he is putting all of this out when he wants to.
He's in on it, and when it comes to draft day, it's not a coincidence. Like, that might try to push that on us. Like, and I know every guy sells a line. They get sold a lot of lines as insiders. But no matter what you're trying to do here, this message from Schefter to Dan Patrick just failed. miserably. And let's call it what it is. Other than the number three pick, where was the drama in the draft? Not a whole lot, right? Where would a couple of quarterbacks go? So you want to goose ratings. You want to get folks excited and talking about things all day of what teams could be. And potentially with that information, getting teams on the phone with one another, trying to come to some answer. And maybe it really spurred it. Maybe it was more in our minds of, I could just imagine the panic or the chaos of, all right, what do we got this year? What do we got next year? And then you have the Jennifer Garner character looking into all sorts of cap issues. Along the way, but look, it carried the day, and it's been a whole week thereafter. But before the draft, and look, people saying it took away from the shine of the players. No, it didn't. That's just absolutely false. It made it a better television show. You still got the recognition when you got drafted. You still got the love from the new hometown, from the old college, and the coaches crowing about their guys that got into the league. So they can cancel that noise. What it did was it helped it to a 15 rating, and Adam Schefter got a lot of shine for the story. It's taking some heat today, deservedly so.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, the career of Albert Pujols as an Angel is over, but is his baseball career over? We'll tell you coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And today we watch the Angels announce they are parting ways with Albert Pujols. Not going to see the end of that 10-year, $250 million contract. Likely he will clear waivers in 3 days. And then what's next for him? Now, as bad as he has been, and he hit under 200, and the Angels told him, listen, the reason you didn't play in a game last night when you thought you should play is because we have to give time to other players. He said, well, if I'm going to be that kind of player and be a part-time kind of guy, I want my release. And now he's gotten it. Is his career over? No. This is definitely his last year in the majors. And, you know, remember, his wife actually let it slip earlier this year on social media that this is Albert's last year. Oh, no, no. No, it's not. I didn't mean to say that. So you know this is last year. But even though the guy's hitting under 200, he's still got 5 home runs and 12 RBIs. I mean, he's not Lindor, you know.
Well, I know people were sending you stuff about his Lindor's war compared to him.
Yeah, I mean,
different positions and, and value. But 5 home runs and is 5 home runs.
Yeah, look, and look, 12 RBIs is good for 4th on the team. Is he going to go somewhere and be a guy that plays all the time? No, but can he go somewhere and play a little bit and platoon at first base and DH? Yeah, and because he's still a curiosity. You know, it's not that Albert Pujols has fallen off the map and suddenly, okay, his skills are all gone, but a guy like that to come in and play part-time, there's still enough curiosity that, hey, maybe he can hit a few long balls for us because he's not going to hit 300. He's probably not going to even hit 250, but can he hit a bunch of home runs and can he knock in a bunch of runs and hit in the clutch? Yeah, he could still do that. So there's going to be interest in him and he's going to wind up playing. So maybe it's Tony. He's already been linked with Tony La Russa and the White Sox because he already
the
said
favorite.
Yeah, look, he's already said, hey, I can run at second base in the 10th inning. You don't have to worry about running a pitcher out there. I can do that.
I know the rule.
But there's a couple of teams that are going to be in on it. It's not just going to be, hey, I'm going right to the White Sox, even though it's a great fit. He played for Tony La Russa. La Russa still loves him. I think he intentionally walked him earlier this season where, really, you're intentionally walking Albert Pujols, seriously. So there are going to be a couple of teams available. It's not set in stone it would be the White Sox, even though they're the betting favorite, but there's going to be a few teams that, hey, want to kick the tires on Pujols.
Sure.
So it may take a couple of days to pick his new team. I don't think it's going to be a case of, hey, you know, he's passed through waivers and he's got his new team on Saturday. I think it might be a couple of days.
Yeah, with a couple of injuries, obviously, to Jimenez and Robert, it makes sense to a degree, but you also have a bunch of young players you're trying to get them battle-tested for what should be a division run. Pitching has been up to snuff most days to get them through. So it'll be curious. The White Sox right now, the favorite, the A's at plus 350. I saw a couple of tweets that had Piazza, Thomas, I would add Baines. All those guys that had great careers and then added on, right? You know, Hall of Famers. Indians at plus 500. Then you get to the Blue Jays, Royals, Cardinals at plus 1,500. If you were actually going to place a bet, Cardinals at 15 to 1, pretty good odds, I think. Just to let him go. If nothing else, it's the here's your contract for a day and you retire as a Cardinal.
Now, at some point he will do that. I'm sure he will, but that's not quite yet. I mean, look, he could have gotten, you know, if he didn't have to pass through waivers, he could hit cleanup for the Mets tonight. I mean, really, he could have just go, hey, I know, yeah, can I go. Just go, they need me. Can I just go do that? All right, great, thanks. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Our Best Of podcast goes up in about 10 minutes on iTunes. Use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Subscribe, listen, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. This is Fox. Matzio.